The message today is entitled, Long Live the King. Matthew 21, starting at verse 9. And the multitudes that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Again. And the multitudes that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And now chapter 27, verse 20. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. But the governor answered and said unto them, Which of the two will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What then shall I do unto Jesus, who is called Christ? They all say, Let him be crucified. And he said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out exceedingly, saying, Let him be crucified. And I will quote the last verse to you from Revelation 1. John, the beloved apostle, fell at his feet as one dead, and it says, He laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that we have something to sing about. All of these voices being lifted concerning the person of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the songs that have been sung to him. We remember on one occasion it was said of him, I am the song of the drunkards. We are thankful that this morning, the song concerning the Lord Jesus is that he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And that is our song to him this morning. We are thankful for all who are here, our God. And we pray that a mighty power by thy Spirit shall work in the hearts of those who are here. Thou knowest the occasion, how so often the excitement would cause us to have the good seed of the Word of God snatched from our hearts. We pray that this meeting shall not be such in one, but work in the hearts of those who hear and empower the lips of him who speaks, and give us a blessing this morning. Thou knowest our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you look in your King James Bible, for the words, Long live the King, you will not find it. And if you look in the 1901 version from which I read, for the words, God save the King, you will not find it. But, if you look in the King James, you will find God save the King, and in the 1901, Long live the King, and both of them are inexact translation, because what it actually says is this, let the king live. But it's good if you say, let the king live. Well, God save the king, and let the king live, then long live the king. But the accurate translation is, let the king live. And that is the title of the message this morning. Long live the king. Let the king live. But that sentiment was not always the sentiment of those to whom he came. I read you what words proceed from the lips of men on Palm Sunday, and then I read you words that proceeded from the lips of man on Good Friday. Did you notice the contrast? For that reason, I ask you this question. What are your permanent sentiments concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? That you said, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. That doesn't mean a thing. That's what you say on Sunday. Just like this Lord's Day, I see you. Will you be meeting with God's people next Lord's Day? Or is this an exceptional thing? But today, we are here, we sing, we extol the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that means nothing. It's what you say concerning the Savior on Friday that counts. You say, why? Because anyone who says something about the Savior on Sunday and then can be persuaded to change his sentiments on Friday, then his sentiments were worthless, and you can be blown about by every wind of doctrine. You listen to one popular evangelist today on television, and you like what he says. And then, a few days later, you hear another one, and you cast off what thought you had concerning Christ, and then you take up the thought concerning what this other man said about the Lord Jesus. The Bible speaks about those that can be blown about by every wind of doctrine. But the Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, and that is what God wants us to be. He wants us to have permanent sentiments concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, like those of the Apostle Paul who said, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ, something that nobody can shake you from. Things concerning Christ, and no matter what arguments man give, you will believe tomorrow and the day that you die the same thing that you believe today. If there are those who have been convinced by the Father, as Peter was in Matthew 16, your sentiments will be permanent sentiments. Because when the Lord Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And flattering things were said about the Savior as to the person men thought he was. But then the Lord Jesus said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Savior said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And the conviction that comes from the Father who is in heaven is a conviction that you can never shake off. You can lie about it, but you will believe it until the day that you die. And when Peter said, with fear in the presence of the enemies of Christ, I don't know Jesus. I swear to God, I don't know him. He took an oath. He cursed that he didn't know Jesus. That was a lie. Some of you say, I know Jesus. That's a lie. When Peter said, I don't know Jesus, that was a lie. Why? Because he did. And no matter how many hellish demons would try to take out of my mind that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it's something that is impossible to be removed. Why? Because what God doeth, he doeth forever. And something that is wrought of God in the heart is something that is permanent. The Lord Jesus said, every plant that my Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. But the promise to those who have been worked upon by the Father is, being persuaded of the very thing that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And as the psalmist says, thou shalt perfect that which concerneth me. And it may be that because of fear, you at times say, I don't know who Jesus is. At times you may deny that you know him. But if there is truth in your heart, you'll go out as Peter did and weep bitterly. And that's what Peter did. Why? Because he did know who Jesus was. But those who say, I know who Jesus is, and then later renounce that confession of Christ, they have no sorrow because they never knew him in the first time. And so some of you this morning are here, and if I ask you, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Yet I come and I sing praises concerning him. They are excellent sentiments. But I want to ask you on Friday, when you have people of influence, your peers, your superiors, surrounding you, influencing you, I wonder if you will take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and all of you young people who are here. When your classmates start talking about the Beatles that deny the Lord Jesus and say that they are more popular than Jesus Christ, and all the rock and roll stars that blaspheme his name, then are you prepared to stand and say, Jesus Christ is my Savior? And I confess with shame that I lost this opportunity. At the University of Toronto, a man was standing teaching English literature, a professor, and saying, now, some people believe that Jesus is the Messiah and he's going to come and establish his kingdom someday. These are these religious fanatics. And I sat there and kept my mouth shut, and I say it to my shame, to my dying days. If I had stood up, if they had expelled me from the college and said, I believe it and it's true, I think that God would have honored me. But some of us are like Peter, you see. For this professor to know that I believe that what he was ridiculing was true, and for young people and adults alike, for all of the men of science and of all of those of education to deny the things that the Word of God says about Christ, and for you to take a stand concerning those things. Remember what the Savior said concerning such people that do deny him and never go out and weep bitterly and repent. Will you remember this? That the Lord Jesus said, whosoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. And so you be ashamed of Jesus and never repent of it and never weep bitterly because you denied the Savior. And someday you will stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will deny you and he will be ashamed of you. And just as you said, I don't know who he is, and you laugh with the others about Jesus and his precious blood. And so the Lord Jesus will say, I never knew you either. You said you didn't know me on earth. You were telling the truth. And now I'm telling the truth about you. I never knew you. With all your religion, with all of the hypocritical pretense that you had, I never knew you, and you never knew me. So those are the consequences. The sentiments that we have on a Sunday, and the sentiments that can be changed next Friday. How devastating. But I can say this, that for over 40 years, I've confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and I've sinned, and I've done things I've been ashamed of, but I've never denied that his precious blood cleanses from sin, that he's the eternal Son of God, that he's coming again to receive us to himself, that where he is, there we shall be also. And I never denied that his resurrection was anything but bodily resurrection, an actual resurrection, and a body that had Thomas desired he could feel, and that the Savior said, a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you behold me have. But what happens is this, that on Sunday we make great confessions concerning the Lord Jesus. But then, people of influence us and persuade us, and then think of this, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the chief priests persuade, and Pilate says, what shall I do with Jesus that is called the Christ? And we say, crucify him. Can you imagine such a thing? How could one who Sunday says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David. Blessed is the King of Israel. How could men like that say 5 days later, let him be crucified? It is because they are hearts that have not been wrought upon by the Spirit of God. There is no living conviction wrought by God the Father that Jesus is the Christ. And I'm afraid that that is the condition of multitudes of those that are filling the churches in Christendom today. What they say today and ask them next Friday. Because on occasion, you are caught off guard. I remember a man, and I can never forget him. I wish I could. But a man who was a well-known Christian, in Christian circles, And years and years ago, I was in a gasoline station buying some gas, and I heard him talking to some other man, taking God's name in vain. I can never forget that. Now, it may have been a slip. It may have been like Peter in the presence of that maid saying, "Do you know the Lord Jesus?" I do not know, but I never forgot what that man said. What he said on Sunday, why, he has been in church with me, singing praises to the Lord Jesus, and then 5 days later, taking God's name in vain. How can this be? And so it is with you. The things that you are singing today, what songs will proceed from your lips as soon as you leave this meeting? What music will you listen to when you leave this music? And whom shall you give the preeminent place when you leave this meeting? Therefore, it's not what your sentiments are on Sunday, it's what your sentiments are on Friday. And I have nothing but praise for the chief priests and the Pharisees. You say, why? Because they were consistent. That's why. When men were praising the Lord Jesus, the chief priests tried to silence the praises. Thank God for such men. They've taken a stand. They say, we do not want Jesus Christ. We reject him, and we don't want anybody to praise his name. I congratulate them because they wanted him to be put to death. They wanted him cast out from the vineyard. They wanted to take the inheritance, and they are consistent. And so all of you who are atheists, all of you who curse the name of Christ, Sunday and Friday, congratulations, at least you're consistent. But the sad thing is those who sing his praises on Sunday and then cry, crucify him, on Friday. And that is what happened. And I think of the contrast of these two chapters, chapter 21 and chapter 27 of Matthew. And then I think of the contrast of the way that our Savior, when people came to him, how they were treated by him. And then how, when he came to men, how he was treated by them. These things remain in my mind. Some week back, I was telling them that the Lord Jesus had taken his disciples apart to rest for a while. And his rest was interrupted by multitudes coming. And it said when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And so when men would come and take his rest from him, he saw them and he had compassion. And then it said that he welcomed them, had words of greeting. And then it said he taught them the things concerning the kingdom of God. And then it says he healed them. All those that were sick, he healed them. And then it was time to go home, and he said, I'm not going to send the people away hungry. He said, I'm going to feed them. And then he fed them. And after he got through feeding them, before he went up into the mountain to pray, it says he dismissed the people, sent them away with comforting words, words of encouragement. That is the way that Jesus receives sinners. Compassion for you. Welcome. Teaching. Healing. Pleading and pleasant words of dismissal. That's the way. When men came to Jesus, that's the way that he received them and treated them. And now, he had compassion when he saw the multitudes. It says in John's Gospel that Pilate brought the Lord Jesus Christ out and said, behold your king. Now listen to their hearts. Crucify him! Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. That's the compassion that men had for the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And for compassion, they had hatred in their heart. And welcomed him. They said, away with him. Away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. We have no king but Caesar. And so that was the welcome they gave the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus told them the truth concerning the kingdom of God. And concerning him, they said, he blasphemed. And so instead of telling the truth, they told lies, that he was a blasphemer. And this is what is so sorrowful. They brought all their sick, and they cast them at his feet, and he healed them all. Every malady of man that was brought to him, he would touch them, he would speak a word, and they were healed. And they took his body, and they nailed it to a tree, and they crucified him until he gave up the ghost. And so instead of healing, they gave Jesus Christ suffering and death. And the Lord Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he fed the multitudes, and they were all filled, and they took up 12 baskets full. And it says this concerning what they gave him. It said, they gave me gall for my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. What a contrast. And then, dismissal, as the Lord Jesus would send them away with words of comfort and encouragement, they said concerning him, when shall he die and his name perish? That's prophetical in Psalm 41. When shall he die, and when shall his name perish? That was their desire. So here are 2 contrasting portions of the Word of God, those of Sunday and those of Friday. The word that proceed from men's lips one day, but how quickly they can be changed, and the difference between the way that the Savior receives sinful men and the way that the sinless Savior receives sinful men, and the way that sinful men receive the Savior. And so I ask, in what class are you? He's come unto his own, and he's come unto the world as well. And what reception are you going to give the Lord Jesus? What treatment would you give him? Let me ask you this. Suppose all the prayers that you pray, all the good things that you desire in life, were heaped upon you in equal amount to the way that you treat and respect the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of life would you expect next week from God? But you see, the life that we live, we choose, and then we turn to God and say, disregard my life and the way that I treat your son, but you bestow good things upon me and treat me in a different way. The Lord knows no such things. He forgives freely. Salvation is a free gift, but he says that if you do not forgive your brother, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. And so what about those that are always saying, God forgives, but you will never forgive, that take their fellow servants by the throat and demand of them something that God in his grace has forgiven you? So this is the treatment of the Son of God by men, and the treatment of men by the Son of God. Such a contrast. But you have sentiments, and you must understand this, that your sentiments concerning the Lord Jesus Christ mean absolutely nothing. Do you realize that whether or not you praise the Lord Jesus, he is going to have millions in heaven praising him there? And whether you want him as king or not, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be king. Do you think that your vote for Jesus is going to determine whether God accepts him as king? You see, we're so often to electing people today. I voted that man out of office. It doesn't mean a thing as to what you say about the Lord Jesus, whether you want him as king or not. The only difference that it makes is this. Whether when he is king and when he comes in his kingdom, it's whether he will speak words of joy to you or words of damnation. You must remember that. He's going to be king. Whether you want him to be king or not, he's going to be king. And the sentiment of those in Psalm 41 was this, when shall he die and his name perish? But this is what God says concerning his king. He says in Psalm 2, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. You would say, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. God says, I'm going to set him upon my holy hill of Zion. And God has promised the sure mercies of David, that they shall never fail, of David, one to sit upon his throne. And the Lord Jesus is going to sit upon the throne of his father David, whether the world wants him or whether the world rejects him. He came the first time. And the first time that the Savior came, he allowed men to do with him what they would. But when he comes the second time, he's going to be riding on a different beast of burden. He came on a donkey the first time, meek and lowly. It says in Revelation 19, when he comes again, he's going to come on a white horse. And out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp two-edged sword. And no opposition can stand before him. And this is when God is going to set his king upon his holy hill of Zion. And it doesn't matter what you've said about him, what you think about him. It's the truth that has taken place in your heart. Because he's going to be king no matter what you think about him, no matter what you say about him. This is the prophecy concerning our Savior. They say, when shall he die? And when shall his name perish? This is what God says in Psalm 72. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba shall be given unto him, and men shall pray for him continually, and men shall bless him all the day long. It says, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. That is what is going to be true concerning the Son of God. Whatever the world might do to him, and whatever the world might say about him, his name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall pray for him continually, and all nations shall call him blessed. That is what God is going to have done with his Son. And this one whom men put to death, and they finally thought that their desire was granted. When shall he die and his name perish? And on the cross, they laughed at him as they walked by. Ha, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, come down from the cross and we will believe thee. Save thyself. All of these things that they laughed concerning the Lord Jesus. Well, do you realize that the Lord Jesus, while not coming down from the cross, he did come forth from the tomb. And what is so humorous was not only the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, but he says in Revelation chapter 1, he said to a man who was filled with awe, one whose head had been upon his bosom, he said, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. Not only could man not keep him in the tomb, though they put all the authority of Rome before that tomb, the Lord Jesus Christ could come forth when he desired to come forth. The Lord Jesus had power to lay his life down. The Lord Jesus had power to take it again. And whenever he desired to have his life taken again, it says he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. If the Spirit of him that raised up the Lord Jesus dwell in you. And so just as the Lord Jesus is spoken to by the Father and said these words, ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The Lord Jesus in the coming day is going to say, now I want the kingdom. And that is when the Father is going to destroy all the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Savior had suffered and borne our sins in his own body on the tree, he said, it is finished, and into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then, when the suffering had taken place, and he had been dead, the amount of time that he told them, the 3 days and three nights, he said, now, Father, and he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. The Father does all things that please the Son, just as the Son did always the things that pleased the Father. And for that reason, what the Son asks of the Father shall be done, not what you think, not what you desire, not what you imagine, but the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's already told us what the destiny of man is going to be. In Luke chapter 19, there was a certain nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And before he left, he gave unto his servant certain things to increase while he was gone. But his citizens sent an ambassage after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And then it says, after a long time, this nobleman came back, having received the kingdom. We have no king but Caesar. We don't want this man. Away with him, crucify him. It says, the nobleman went to a far country to receive that kingdom. And when he received it, he came back. And then he deals with those that took the place of servants. What have you done with what I gave you? But then it says, those my citizens who would not have me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. And that's what's going to happen. And I told you this, that no matter whether you say on Sunday, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, and then on Friday, crucify him, crucify him, that means nothing. It's what has taken place in your heart. It's whether you've been born again. It's whether from the heart you have trusted Christ as Savior. And if you have, you may stumble, but you shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord Jesus shall sustain you as he sustained Simon Peter. He prays for you that your faith fails not. And ultimately, not what you have said, but the truth shall come forth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and God shall set his king upon his holy hill of Zion. The time is coming when Jesus Christ is going to reign. And at that time, you who say, we have no king, away with this man, we will not have this man to reign over us, you will have this man to reign over you. Because it says that when he sits on the throne of his glory, all the nations are brought before him, and it says he's going to separate them. He knows whether you are sheep or a goat, and he knows whether you are his or whether you are not his. And it says, the king shall say unto them, oh, so you said to the king, we will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him. That's what you said. But that's not the last word. The last word is this. Depart, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The king is going to have the last word. It's not what you said about him. It's what he says about you. And thank God for all of us who have trusted in his Savior. He's going to say, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The king's word has power, and the king's word shall stand. And so what do you say? Do you say, when shall he die and his name perish? Or do you say, long live the king? By God's grace, may they be your sentiments impressed upon your heart by the Spirit of God. Long live the King. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that you have told us about this King, the King who came unto his own, and his own received him not. The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our eyes. We are thankful, our Father, that thy Son was willing to be rejected for a time. But we are thankful that we know the conclusion of the matter, that the Lord Jesus shall not be ultimately rejected. And thou hast told us that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And we are thankful that he who said, I am alive forevermore, also said, I have the keys of death and hell. We are thankful, Father, that he can open the sphere of the unseen where the dead are, and he can let them out when he chooses. He has the keys of death and of hell, and he has power over all of these spheres so important to man. And our Father, we pray that all of us here acknowledge him as King, and that we shall hear only good words in eternity as he spoke to men in time. And may all of us hear him say in that coming day, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Grant this, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Amen.